Good evening, cyber and crypto homies. This is the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is Monday, November 5th of 2018. This is episode number 44. Got a lot to get to. We're going to touch on the exchange in Canada that got hacked recently. We're going to talk about a few listings on Coinbase. Also going to talk about NVIDIA's video cards, the new ones that they just released. And we're also going to touch on some of the direct deposit scams that are going around from hackers, new technique that they're using for that. And then last but not least, Google's new sign-in feature that they've turned on. So we'll start with exchange that got hacked, the crypto exchange that got hacked. It was called Maple Change. It was based out of Canada. And kind of interesting because they said that they got hacked. They said there was a bug in their software, and it allowed some people to withdraw all the funds. They said they have no money left at all to pay anyone back. What's also interesting is they completely shut down and deleted their Twitter account shortly after posting the message that they had been hacked. So that right there just screams exit scam, if you ask me. If you remember, Mt. Gox was kind of the same way. Very, very similar scam. He claimed that the exchange got hacked when in fact they really didn't. He was just taking all the money. And this looks like we've got exactly the same thing happening here. Now, the Mt. Gox thing, he went to court, and I mean, that was a big ordeal. So I'm not sure what kind of jurisdiction we can have in Canada, but I don't think Canadian law enforcement would like this kind of stuff too much either. But who's to say? And maybe American law enforcement can get up there and we can still charge this person that did this. The domain name was registered at GoDaddy to a guy named Flavorous P. I don't know anybody named Flavorous. That's kind of an odd name to give anybody. So just one more red flag, and just really sad to see that. It's just one more thing to make people not want to get into the crypto space. But maybe they did really get hacked. I don't know. That's still, it's still speculation, of course. But there sure are a lot of red flags there that lead you to believe that, yeah, they probably just shut it down and took all the money and run. That's why if you're a crypto trader, you got to be very careful where you put your funds. Don't put them all in one place. And especially don't keep all your funds in the exchange, ever. Only send them to the exchange when you're going to exchange. Don't just leave them sitting in there. That's not a good place to save them because, number one, the exchanges could get hacked, or they could do this exit scam and just take all your money anyway. So the best thing that you can do is get an offline wallet of some sort, store it in a local wallet, a hardware wallet, on your computer at home, whatever it is. Just don't keep it at the exchange at all, ever. Only send it there when you're going to exchange it and send it. So typically what I do when I was mining, at least, I would mine everything and it would go straight to Coinbase. I don't even leave it in Coinbase personally. So it would go straight to Coinbase, and then from there I would send it to my hardware wallet and I would take it and put that in a locked safe. So that was really the only way that I knew that my Ethereum was safe, was by taking it offline completely. So really that's the best way to do it in any case, and don't leave it at the exchanges. The online wallets are just as susceptible. Although Coinbase has a very great reputation, they've also got their Coinbase vault or whatever it's called, where you can stash it for a long time and nobody can touch it, even you. And it takes several days to pull that money out of there. So, I mean, there are good things that Coinbase is doing, and I'm not saying that Coinbase is going to get hacked or anything. But I will say that you don't want to leave your money in any kind of an exchange or any kind of online wallet whatsoever, because you just never know when they're going to get hacked. So just keep that in mind when you're out there trading your crypto. So as we reported a few weeks ago, the FBI came out and they said that direct deposits are now being targeted by hackers. They're using phishing emails to get these direct deposit account numbers changed to the hacker's account. So this is a pretty big emerging threat. I can say firsthand that we have received tons of these at my job. Luckily, they've all been blocked thus far, but they are spoofing employees' names, and they'll pretty much pick any employee. They really don't care. They'll spoof any employee's name and send it to, most companies have their generic HR at yourdomain.com, and that's what the hackers are using as well. So if you have one of these generic HR addresses, you might want to maybe enable some more controls on that address, more filtering. I'm not sure how you'd want to tackle that, but that is what they're sending it to, at least in my experience from what I've been seeing. And they will use anybody's name. They do not care. They just want to get some money that's not theirs. So heads up for those. This also speaks to HR platforms. If you outsource your HR, this is now a big target. So it's time to reconsider who this is outsourced with. What company is your HR outsourced with? Are they a small little mom and pop shop? And if so, how secure is it? That is the big question. So if hackers start targeting these smaller HR shops and let's say they get in because of poor security controls, hey, they can go change those direct deposit account numbers all they want to without even phishing anybody. But if you have HR internal, now it's a slightly different problem. You do have to still make sure that whatever, typically it's a web-based platform that employees go to sign up for benefits and set up their direct deposit and all that good stuff. You just have to really make sure that whatever they're using to get into that site and the data that that site is storing is all secured, it's all encrypted and all that fun stuff. Still doesn't help if somebody gets phished. I know, if you get phished, you're screwed either way. You can have all the controls in the world, but getting phished really just ruins the day. But be on the lookout for those, and if you outsource your HR, it's time to reevaluate how secure they are. And if you have it in-house, also reevaluate how secure your in-house stuff is, too. Our good friends at NVIDIA, they released their 2080s earlier this year. It's only been out a few months, I want to say, and people are already starting to report all kinds of problems with them. So if you're a GPU miner and you've got some graphics cards running and you're using these 2080s, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. Hit me up on there. Let me know what the hash rate is on those things. I've been very curious to hear how much faster they are than their predecessors. So if you're using that, I would sure love to hear from you. But I think that NVIDIA can fix these issues with some driver updates or maybe some firmware updates. It still has not been fixed thus far. They're still kind of gathering information and trying to recreate the issue. But my suspicion is with a firmware update of some sort or maybe some driver updates, they'll get it. And we had similar issues with the 1080s, 1080 Ti's when they first came out. There were some similar issues, especially if you were mining. Most of the reports, at least the article that I saw, said it was mostly gamers that were reporting issues. But for those of you that are mining with them, you may also experience some issues as well. But not any different from what we saw with the 1080s, and the driver update fixed those 1080s. So I suspect that a driver update will be able to fix this one as well. Some other interesting stuff here. One of my friends posted this on Facebook, and it's a product called Initiative Q. Their website's initiativeq.com. And essentially, this is some of the ex-PayPal people that started their own company. And it's a alternative currency, but it's not blockchain, and it's not a cryptocurrency. So this is a very interesting product that they're trying to release here. I don't really know what to call it. It's not blockchain, and it's not, you know, a crypto, but it's called Initiative Q. Right now, it's an invite-only status, so you have to be invited to it. But if you are invited to it, you can get up to 50,000 Qs. And they're saying, you know, it's all still speculation, but the Initiative Q folks are saying that when it first launches, it's going to be worth $1 per Q. So it's still yet to be seen, obviously. But hey, if I, when you sign up, I think all you need is your email address. You don't really need to do anything else. So, hey, whatever. My email address is already out there all over the web. So I signed up for it. If you need some invites, let me know. I can send you an invite. Hit me up on Twitter or whatever, and I'll send you one. But if you invite up to 5 friends, you can get about 50 or 60 of these Qs, or 50 or 60,000, excuse me, of these Qs. So if it really is $1, man, I'm going to be really happy. I will totally take 50 grand. I would not be upset about that. So we'll see. It's supposedly from some ex-PayPal guys, but I'll post a link to their website so everybody can go check that out too. And again, if you want an invite, just holler at me, hit me up on Twitter or whatever. I'll send you an invite to it as well. Certainly interesting, though. Very interesting stuff to think about. More alternative currencies to focus on. In other news, Google has a new security check that they have implemented on their login page, where it uses JavaScript to validate that you are human and that you're not some bot that's doing a password spray attack. Now, if you're like me and you use a browser that blocks JavaScript, this can be a problem and you won't be able to log in. So you'll have to turn off that JavaScript blocking for this particular site. It's usually accounts.google.com, and you can turn it off just for that one site. I use Brave, and it, of course, blocked my sign-ins on that site, so I did have to lower my shields in Brave to allow me to log in there. So heads up on that. Certainly a cool feature. I understand why Google's doing it. You know, these password sprays are ridiculous. They get passwords on GitHub or whatever, and they just spray all these different websites and these login pages and just try to get into anything, and they don't really care. So be on the lookout for that. You know, Brave, I'm so in love with their product because it really just makes your web browsing experience so much faster. All these websites have all these videos that have to load and all these ads that have to load, and Brave blocks all that stuff from the start. Brave is also based on Google, but anyway, I'm loving their browser. It just makes surfing the web so much cleaner and faster and easier, and I'm just loving it. And speaking of Brave, our friends at Coinbase announced that they are going to start supporting the Brave token. It's called Basic Authentication Token, or the BAT token, from Brave. So this is only available on Coinbase Pro. It's not available in the regular consumer Coinbase app yet. But I said this a few weeks back, that as soon as they started supporting this 0x token, that they were going to, you know, open the floodgates for more. And here we go. We're already getting the BAT token. The BAT token has really taken off here. I mean, this is crazy to see it. And I wish I'd held on to the ones that Brave gave me for free, because I had no idea it was going to be this popular. But Coinbase is going to list them in their Coinbase Pro platform. And, you know, they usually put it in their Pro platform before they move it over to their regular Coinbase app, just like they did with the 0x token as well. So really cool stuff there. If you are interested in learning more about these BAT tokens, I'm sure you can read about them a little bit on Coinbase's website, but you can also go to Brave.com and you can download their browser. And there's more information on Brave's website as well about all things Brave and BAT tokens. And essentially, Brave's stance on this is, hey, we're going to block all these ads and these trackers and cookies and videos and whatever from running when you're visiting these various sites. And because we're blocking this, we want to make sure that the websites can still earn money. So how do we do that? So we give them a cryptocurrency based on how many times you visit that website. So I've already burned up all my BAT tokens that I got, but yeah, I didn't have very many. I think they give you 15 or 20 to start off with. It's not a whole lot. And you can control what sites get your tokens. And again, it's just based on how many times you visit that site. So really cool stuff. And now apparently you can reload those tokens in the Brave browser itself and or do some trading on Coinbase with them. So those BAT tokens are way up there right now in price. It's been very surprising to see that. So last couple of things I wanted to get to here. The folks in Georgia, with their elections happening, like they are all across the U.S., the officials in Georgia came out and said there were some accusations that their systems were vulnerable to hacking and whatnot, and they secretively went in and patched all these vulnerabilities, and now they're claiming ignorance and saying that there was no vulnerabilities to begin with. We don't know what you're talking about. There is no vulnerability. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know, of course, but I thought that was kind of interesting. Why would they hide that? Well, I guess they would want to hide it because, you know, it would skew the elections if something was hacked. Of course, right? Skew the elections and get somebody in office that not everybody wanted. But I think it would be good for them to admit it and say, yes, we did fix it. It only affected, you know, this many voting terminals or whatever you want to do. But, I mean, you need to be transparent here. And of course, in a perfect world, you would fix this and then go back and cancel all those votes that were done on those systems prior to the fix and make people come back in. Like, sorry, it was a skewed result. You're going to have to come back. The problem there is knowing who did it, knowing who voted, being able to get them to come back to is also going to be hard. But certainly something that I would have done. But of course, I'm not the officials in Georgia that are running the voting polls and booths and whatnot. But I certainly thought that was interesting to look at. And last but not least, our good friends at FIFA Soccer. They were hacked yet again. This is their second time to get hacked pretty badly. And I do wonder, what is the target for FIFA? What would a hacker be going after FIFA for? And I kind of narrowed it down to at least what I think it is. Whether it's right or wrong, I have no idea. But FIFA and, let's say, like EA Sports, for example. EA Sports has to buy the naming rights from FIFA. So I'm sure they write them this really massive check or wire them a whole bunch of money. And so I presume that these hackers were after, you know, some sort of a payday like that. And or if FIFA has personal information on their soccer players in their leagues and whatnot, very well could be that that's what they were after as well. But certainly thought that was interesting too. If you're a FIFA soccer watcher, heads up, they got hacked. I don't know of many people that give their personal information to FIFA unless you're a soccer player or, you know, maybe a up-and-coming soccer star or something. But anyway, thought that was interesting. That's all for today, folks. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. So hit me up on there. Also want to thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Go check them out for some really funny T-shirts and whatnot. All right, folks, that's all we had for today. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk again soon.